We welcome you to the Tabernacle Podcast, brought to you by the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit our website, tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. You can find other sermons like this one on Apple Podcast, YouTube, and Sermon Audio. It is our prayer that God has used this message to be an encouragement to your heart.
If you have a Bible this morning, you can turn with me to Acts chapter 17. That's where we'll begin today, Acts chapter 17. I will take this opportunity to say thank you. I don't know if I'll get to speak to you all again like this before we leave. As most of you know, me and my family will be leaving at the end of May. We'll be moving to Columbus, Georgia, to pastor there at Maranatha Baptist Church. And I just want to say thank you for all the encouraging words and texts and messages that we've received in the last month. And we're very encouraged by a lot of you. And we are as excited as can be, and we're as sad as can be, all in the same thing. So y'all continue to pray for us. There are still some things that we need to take care of before we leave, and things like that in the next month. But we're very excited, and we're so grateful for you. And you have been so gracious to our family over the last 5 years, and I cannot thank you enough for welcoming us into your family and making us feel like a part of it. And thank you again for just the last month and putting your arms around us and helping us through all of this. Acts chapter 17 is where we'll be this morning. We'll begin reading in verse number 16. The Bible says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, 'May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean.' For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our beings, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and men's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead.'" I would like to direct your attention back to verse 16. It says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred." And I'll speak to you on that subject. His spirit was stirred. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning as we walk through your word. Lord, as your word has been read and we've sung praises to you this morning, Lord, I pray that everything that's said and done here today would bring you honor and glory. I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. I pray that you would use your word to stir us and to move us to action. In your name we pray. Amen. How do we get to this point in Paul's life? Of course, many of us know Paul, and Paul was not only a great missionary, but he was a great Christian. And what I like about Paul's life is he was a Christian first, right? So no matter what our title or where we go or who we are first Christians. And as God directed Paul's life and God directed his steps, and if God is directing our steps, by the way, we cannot make a wrong turn. And so as God was directing Paul's life and as Paul was just doing what God told him to do next, we see in Acts chapter 17, he's toward the end of his second missionary journey. And Paul went about just preaching the gospel. Paul started churches. Paul told people about Jesus. Paul did not weigh his audience before he told them about Jesus. He just told everyone about the Lord that he served. When we get to Acts chapter 17, and we'll read some of these verses here in a little while, but you get to the beginning of Acts 17, and he's in Thessalonica, and he's traveling with a group of people, and of course he goes to the synagogue as he would normally do, and he preached. He preached the gospel, and this caused people to be uneasy. And this caused people to be angry with him and with the message that he was preaching. And so they went from Thessalonica. The Bible tells us that they went from there to Berea. And you can go down reading that through chapter 17. And they get to Berea and he does the same thing that he did in Thessalonica. He preached in the synagogue. He preached in the streets. He preached to whoever would listen. And then the Bible tells us when they got to Berea that the same people that caused a stirring in Thessalonica followed him to Berea, and they did the same thing there in Berea, and they began to talk and cause this stirring, and people became angry to the point where they wanted to threaten and hurt Paul and those that were with him. So the Bible tells us that these men take him, and they take him to Athens. And as he's there in Athens, you see in verse number 15, they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. So he's there in Athens, and there are some men that were with him that helped him get from Berea to Athens, and they were protecting him from these people that were trying to cause harm to him. And he's there, and he's waiting on Timothy and Silas. And he comes to the city of Athens, and he looks around Athens. The Bible tells us that he was there by himself, and we know from the story that we read that he saw some things. And he's walking around this city, and he begins to evaluate this city, and I'm sure that this was also a time where he was kind of getting some rest that I'm sure he needed and taking some time away from the busyness of his traveling. And he evaluates the city of Athens, and he's looking, and he sees all these statues and all these idols, all these sculptures and these buildings, these temples. And he notices one in particular, and he tells them there in verse 23, I passed by and beheld your devotion. That word devotion means the object of your worship. He says, I looked at the things that you were worshiping in the center of the things that you're worshiping, and I noticed on one of them it had this inscription, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. And he stands up there on Mars Hill. This is the place where the center of the city, where the philosophers and the politicians and those in the city would often come, and they would all partake in this conversation. They would travel the world, and they would come back, and they would bring back all of their information, and they would discuss these things and debate these things. And they had him up there because they thought, well, he's saying some things we've never heard before. They were very interested in learning new things, and so Paul was saying things that they hadn't heard. They said, so we're going to bring it to Mars Hill. We're going to bring it to this place of the city, and we want you to talk about these things. And he takes this opportunity to tell them about the unknown God. And he says, this inscription, the unknown God, this God that you do not know, let me introduce you to it. And Paul there stands on Mars Hill, and he doesn't debate them. He doesn't argue with them. He's not angry with them. He just tells them about the God that he serves. You see that little phrase that he was stirred. His spirit was stirred in him. My question to us this morning is, are we stirred? Are we stirred about the things that are going on in our world? Are we stirred about what's happening in the city of Hickory? Paul remained stirred, I think, about physically what he's gone through. And he's preached the gospel in Thessalonica, and he preached, and people were angry. The Bible does tell us that some believed. By the way, there are only three responses to it. Some hear and they believe it and they accept it and respond to it. Some hear it and they reject the word of God. And then some hear and they say, well, we'll wait till later. That's the three responses that we can have this morning to God's word. And I think about Paul as he traveled from Thessalonica and he went down to Berea. What did he do there? He preached the gospel. He told people about this God. And then he goes from Berea and now he's in Athens. And I'm thinking, wow, he must be tired. All this traveling, all this preaching, avoiding conflict and seeing this persecution and people coming after him because he's preaching the gospel. And he gets to Athens and his spirit is still stirred. Can you imagine having this kind of Christianity where no matter how far you go, no matter the persecution that you face, you still come to a place like Athens and you look around and your spirit is stirred? There are different types of stirring of our spirit. I'll tell you a little bit about this stirring. The verb means sharpened or stimulated. The Greek word is two words combined, para, meaning alongside, and oxus, meaning sharp or pointed. It's mentioned a few other times in Scripture, 1 Corinthians and Hebrews, and then again in Acts chapter 15. Paul was stirred. He was stirred up about the things that he saw. We see some other areas in Scripture where people were stirred. If you go back to Exodus chapter 35, go back to Exodus chapter 35 for just a moment. We'll come back here to Acts. We see some stirring. Exodus chapter 35 and verse number 21. The Bible says, "And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments." And God's people are stirred up to action. They're stirred to bring offerings and bring sacrifices to God. Why? If you go back to the beginning of chapter 35, and you look in verse number 1, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, These are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do." So we see here that their hearts were stirred because of the words of the Lord. The word of God stirred the people up to do something. They were stirred. They were moved to action. And then if you'll go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, and you look here at another stirring, we see this same stirring in Ezra chapter 1. It's the same message. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse number 3. "And they said unto me, The remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven." So we see not only a stirring because of the word of God, we see stirring because of the work of God. And Nehemiah's heart was stirred because he saw God's work fall. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down. And then if you'll go with me back to Acts chapter 17, we see a stirring because of the wickedness of man. You ever been stirred like that? Your heart has been stirred. This is not just emotional, but there is some emotion in it. If it were just emotional, it would come and go.
But this was deeper for Paul. This wasn't just, I'm feeling good today, and the songs were really good, and the preaching was really good, and all the kids are healthy, and everything's going well. This was something deeper than just emotion. This was a stirring that went beyond feeling and went to truth. This was a stirring of his soul and his spirit. This was a stirring because of what God had done in his life. And it didn't matter how far he had to go to tell people about Jesus. It didn't matter the persecution that he faced. And we could go back and look at the persecution that he faced with the stonings and the beatings. And it didn't matter how many times he was whipped. He was still stirred to do something for God. So, how do we stay stirred? It amazes me to see people who have been faithful to God year after year after year and go through difficult things and face very difficult things in their life, and then you still see them stirred up. You still see their spirit is stirred. You still see them serving God and being moved to action. Years of faithfulness. How do we stay there? How do we get there? First, we see what caused the stirring, and then we'll see what kept the stirring. Number one, what caused the stirring, we see a godless people. A godless people. Look at verse number 16 again in Acts chapter 17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, by the way, when we're waiting on God, it's never wasted time, is it? And Paul didn't waste time. He was waiting. He was waiting on God to move. His spirit was stirred in him. His spirit was stirred in him. Why? He saw the city wholly given to idolatry. We see, number one, a godless people. Let's look at this city just a little bit. Athens. I'll read you some things that some authors have written about this city. Athens was a university city of the ancient world, intellectual capital of mankind. It was filled with sculptures and works of art. Art, literature, oratory, and religion were the stuff of which Athens was made. This was the native home of Socrates and Plato, the philosophers. This was the adopted home of Aristotle, Epicurus, and Zeno. An author said this, Athens illustrates to what great heights of achievement man can ascend and still be ignorant of God. What knowledge amounts to apart from divine revelation. In Athens, there were more gods than men. Some say there were somewhere around 30,000 different idols and statues and gods being worshipped in Athens. The Greeks gave the world not only a love of knowledge and a love of beauty, but a love of freedom. And this is what attracted people to this city, the city of Athens. John Phillips said this, but with all of that, they had no knowledge of salvation or divine inspiration. They wanted to have all the gods for all the people. They wanted Athens to be the place where every religion and every god was welcome. You could go to Athens with your family, and you could worship in that day whatever god you wanted to worship. You could go there and feel welcome. You could go there and not be excluded. Whatever god you desired to worship and bow down to was there in Athens. And as a matter of fact, if you could not find your God, they had one with the inscription to the unknown God just to cover their bases. Athens was wholly given to idolatry. There wasn't just idolatry in Athens. Athens was idolatry. And that's where Paul was. That's where Paul was. You know, man, without any direction, will find something to worship. Man, without any direction, will find something to devote their life to. First, we see the godless people inside the synagogue. Look at verse 17. Therefore, disputed he where? In the synagogue. This was normal for Paul. This was the place he normally went, right? Inside the synagogue. If you go back to verse number 1 of this chapter, it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So this was a normal thing for Paul to do. He did that in Thessalonica. He did it in Berea. Look at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. This would be a logical place to start, right? When Paul went to a new city and he didn't know anyone there, he would go to the synagogues. He would often travel to these cities, and he would go to the synagogues on the first day of the week, and he would reason with them. He would talk to them about Jesus. He would talk to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in particular. And so you would think that as he comes to Athens, he would go to this place of worship, and he would find some commonality here. You would think he would go to a synagogue. Now, the synagogue is not the church, but you would think he could go to a place like that and find some comfort. You would think that he could go to a place of worship and find convention where they would come together for one main cause. If I were traveling through Athens in this day and I were in Paul's shoes, which I'm not, but if I were and I went to this synagogue, I would go to the synagogue encouraged, thinking, okay, maybe they see the statues too. I would go to this place of unity, this place of worship, and I would say, well, maybe they see the idolatry that has overtaken this city. And I would say, well, maybe I could go there. And the Bible says there were Jews there, but then there were also devout persons. These were Gentiles who came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Paul did. And you would think, well, maybe there are some of those that will follow me to Mars Hill. Maybe there are even some of those that would say, amen, I'm with you. I see the idols and I'm going with you. And they could be unified together for one cause. We don't find much of that. We don't find much of these people setting some of their differences aside for one main cause. And that's preaching Jesus and the resurrection to a lost world. You would think you would be able to go to a place like that and get a group of people to rally behind you and to go with you for the cause of Christ. But I believe the Jews in Athens had come to terms with these idols. I think these Christians and some of these Jews that lived there, to them, the idols were just a part of everyday life. And a guest like Paul would walk around and be stirred by this, whereas the Athenian Christian may walk around and say, well, this is just normal. This is just what it's like here. That's the person who's lost their stirring. They've become comfortable in the place that they're living. They've become comfortable looking at these idols. It was easier to stay quiet and to stay in the synagogue. It was easier to just stay inside the walls of the synagogue there and not do anything about what was going on outside. Jesus ran into similar encounters in the synagogue. In John 16, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh when whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." I wonder how many of us will look around the city of Hickory. You say, are there idols out there? There are. There are. And it's just become normal to us. What is the idol? The idol is anything that takes the place of God. The idol is anything in your life that takes God's rightful place. And you can look around our city and you can see them everywhere. The question is, have we just become comfortable with them? Or will we allow it to stir us? Will we allow it to cause us to be moved to action, just like Paul was? We see the godless people inside the synagogue, but then of course we see the godless people outside the synagogue. Look at verse number 18. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, "Some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." You know what's interesting? There wasn't a whole lot of unity inside the synagogue, but there was some unity outside the synagogue. Think of all the different philosophies and beliefs and things in this world that we have today. And they had them there in this day as well. We see the Epicureans and the Stoics. These were very different types of people. The Epicureans were very much anything goes. Whatever feels right, that's what we're going to do. They were described as indulgence is the key to life and pleasure was the highest good. But the Stoics were complete opposites. As a matter of fact, they were defined as moral earnestness, stern. They were by the book. They were very, very different people. But watch, they were unified for a cause. Look what they did. They set their differences aside for one cause. What was their cause? Anything against God. You see, they didn't hate Paul because of Paul. They hated Paul because of God, right? They hated Paul because of who his God was. And they were unified together against God. Listen, we can look all around us. And people can see what's going on at Tabernacle Baptist Church and Tabernacle Christian School. Listen, they don't hate you. They don't hate our pastor. They don't hate those things. What do they hate? They hate the God that we serve. And that's what we see here. And this is what caused Paul's stirring. His heart was stirred because he saw the godless people. He saw the godless people. The answer for both the Epicureans, the Stoics, whatever other group of people there were, the answer that they needed was the gospel. And Paul knew this. So we see what caused his stirring, and I'll give you 2 points here really quickly. What kept the stirring? Number two, we see godly perspective. We see a godly perspective. Look at this in verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Notice that it does not say that his spirit was stirred or he stood in awe of the architecture and he stood in awe of the statues and he stood in awe of all that man could accomplish in Athens. Paul didn't look around and say, wow, look at this wonderful city, how beautiful it is. And I'm sure it was. Some of you have probably been there and seen the beauty of the city and you see the temples and you see the buildings that were designated to these false gods. He didn't look around and say, wow, look at all of these things. Wow, look how beautiful, look how wonderful. Look what man has accomplished. No, Paul wasn't distracted. He had a godly perspective. He saw past the idols. He saw past the large statues. He looked past all of the things that man has accomplished. And he saw the real problem. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He didn't look at the landscape. He wasn't distracted by all of the gods and all of the things that were going on there in Athens. He wasn't distracted at the intellectual people that he spoke to. He wasn't intimidated by all the things that they knew. He wasn't distracted. How do you stay stirred? You have a godly perspective. Listen, when you look out at this world, don't be surprised when worldly people are doing what worldly people do. Don't be surprised when you see what's going on in Washington and when you see what's going on even in our own city, in America, in the world. You see the wickedness. You see the devil. Don't be surprised when you see man doing what man does apart from God. It should cause us to be stirred, but not distracted. And so many times we see all the pretty things out there, the things that are used to distract us, and we allow them to distract us. The devil was there before Eve was there in the tree. He knew where she would go. He knew where she was vulnerable, and he deceived her. The devil is using that same deception today, and we're falling right into the trap. or distracted. Many of you probably watched the Final Four basketball tournament. And you saw them standing there shooting free throws. Right? And what is the crowd doing? I mean, the thousands and thousands of people there that are trying to distract them. But the person shooting the free throw has one thing in mind. Hopefully. And that's the goal. The rim. The people behind that are trying to distract, the student sections that are trying to throw him off, or her off, sorry. They're standing there shooting the free throw, and they're focused on one thing. They're not distracted. Discerning Christians are not distracted by the idols in Athens, but we have a godly perspective. Paul saw past all of that. He wasn't distracted. His anger was directed at the right thing. Listen, he wasn't angry at the Athenians. You don't see Paul walking through, kicking over statues and making a mess of things and yelling at people in their face. He wasn't angry at the people that were there. He was angry at the God of Athens. He was angry at the God of this world. He knew that God had blinded them, by the way, just as he was blinded before he saw Jesus. And his anger was directed at the right thing. Number three, and the last thing, how do we stay stirred? Well, we have this godly perspective, and then we have to prioritize the gospel. We see the gospel prioritized. Verse number 18, the very end. Because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. If we want to stay stirred, then we must keep the gospel central. We must keep the gospel at the forefront of everything that we do. You see, Paul could have stood up there in Mars Hill and he could have argued with them. He could have debated them. Paul was a very intelligent man. He could have spoken things to them and he could have talked about philosophy with them. And he was well-traveled, so he knew a lot of things. He had seen a lot of things. There were a lot of different things he could have said to them. But his message was simple. He preached Jesus and the resurrection. And I love that he used things around him much like Jesus did when he preached and when he taught, and he used the different things around them. He even uses a quote from the philosopher in verse 28. This was a quote that says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." He pointed to the statue. He pointed to the idol there that said, "To the unknown God." And he says, "This is the God that I want to tell you about." If we want to stay stirred, if we want to stay stirred up for God, then we must keep the gospel the priority. This was the priority in his life. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. It is the power of God." In Acts 16, verses 9 and 10, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord hath called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Acts 5:42, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." You see, Paul knew what these people needed. Paul knew that they didn't need more philosophy. They didn't need another professor. They didn't need to learn anything, any new thing. They just needed to know God. They just needed to hear the gospel. And Paul begins to tell them, he says, this God that you don't know, let me introduce you to him. There are people around Hickory. We have neighbors. There are people that we work with. They just don't know God. They don't need money. They don't need anything else. They just need to know the God that we serve. Who's going to tell them? Many of us want God to use us, don't we? We want God to do something great with our life. We want to go here and go there, and we want to do all these things for God. And I wonder that if God is just waiting on us just to tell our neighbor about Jesus. Just do the little things that we know to do. Paul could have said anything. And he says, let me tell you about God. And he starts at the beginning. God that created the world. And that's where we start. Because everything begins with God and everything continues with God. Are you stirred this morning? Not an emotional stirring, not a feeling, but a stirring based on truth. A stirring based on God's word. A stirring because there's a wicked world that just needs to know about God. And if you're stirred this morning, how do we stay that way? There may be days we don't feel like it or we don't feel stirred up. I'm sure Paul was tired. I'm sure he could have used a few days of rest and vacation. But everything in his life revolved around one thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about us this morning? How about you? Can we stay stirred up in this way, following God every single day? And that's what Paul knew. Paul was stirred, and Paul stays stirred.
Thank you for listening. We pray that God has used his word to speak to you today. If you'd like to learn more about Tabernacle, you can visit us online at tabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There, you'll find additional information about our church, opportunities to partner with us financially, as well as other resources that we hope can be a help to you. May God bless you. And thank you once again for listening.